We come before you this morning with a joyful heart, excited that at 8 o'clock in the morning we have a worship service.
Amen.
Father, I know there's a lot of people in the community that they wouldn't even dream about going to church at 8 o'clock in the morning, but I praise you that there are people in the community who are willing to, because they're up early anyway, to just come on to the house of worship. And Father, these people who are making this sacrifice, they have freed up room at the 9:15 and the 10:30 service. And I just appreciate some of them are here because of that sacrifice, but some are here because this is just the time they enjoy worshiping you. So, Father, we may be fewer in number than our other two services, and especially this morning, maybe because it's cold outside. But, Father, we just pray that there be a warmth in here as we begin to focus our attention on you and use this birth season of your Son to bring back to our mind some of the Christmas hymns and the Christmas carols, as we call them. But, Father, just begin to prepare our heart now for your presence. And it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Come.
This morning we come before you and we adore you. From heaven to earth as a baby to a grown man on a cross. Your life was lived for the glory of the Father, and so that we might have hope of glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice for us. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Won't you shake your neighbor's hand before you're seated? Go ahead and shake your neighbor's hand. Good job. Did they leave me on? Tell them not to do that again. All righty. Go ahead and be seated. Take your Bibles. Isn't it amazing how much bigger we look when we all get in just a little bit tighter? Amen. Appreciate you being here this morning. Take your Bibles and open to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue again to walk through the Hebrew Hall of Faith. Now, if you'll remember, the first person we saw in Hebrews chapter 11 when we stepped inside the door of the Hebrew Hall of Faith was an Old Testament saint named Abel. And if you'll remember from the life of Abel, we learned that he had a faith that worshiped. Now, as we leave Abel this morning and go on to the next person that we're going to meet, another pre-flood person, we're going to find ourselves standing in front of an exhibit of a man named Enoch, or as the Hebrew people say, Enoch. And as we stand before him, we read in verse 5 and 6 this inscription, Hebrews 11:5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. As we begin to study this man named Enoch, just like Abel, it will benefit us if we go back just for a moment and review the information from which the writer is gathering his information. And that's, of course, from the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 5, we have a genealogy of man from the first man, Adam, to Noah. 10 generations. The book of Genesis is literally a book of genealogies, a book of beginnings. Genesis 5 opens by declaring that God created mankind in his own image, in his own likeness, male and female. He created them. And then the Bible mentions the first man to live on the earth, Adam. And the Bible says that Adam fathered a son in his own likeness. After his own image, he fathered a son named Seth. And then the Bible talks about the other sons and daughters that Adam fathered. And then he lived so many years, 930. And then the Bible says, and he died. And then you read about the second man, Seth, and guess what? He fathered a son too, and he lived a lot of years after he fathered a son. And guess what? After naming the totality of his years of life, the Bible says, and he died. And then guess what? That man fathered a son after living so many years. And then after fathering that son, he lived so many more years and fathered more sons and daughters. And then it lists the totality of his life. And then guess what the Bible says? And he died. So you see a pattern in the book of Genesis. Man lives. He fathers a son. He lives more years. He fathers more sons and daughters. And then you have the totality of his life. And then he dies. Until you come to the seventh man in the genealogy. A man named Enoch. You see, when the Bible begins in verse 21 of Genesis 5, listing Enoch, the Bible says he lived 65 years, and he fathered a son. And then guess what the Bible says? And Enoch walked with God. Wow. Did you catch this? The seventh man from Adam in Genesis 5, who's also called the seventh man in the book of Jude, breaks the pattern of life. Up until him, the first six men mentioned, they live, they father a son, they continue to live, father and sons and daughters, and then they die. But not Enoch. Now, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking right now, we need to start a fire. We need to camp out a little bit here. Amen? Because I don't know what you're thinking, but here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking God's trying to tell us something here, and we don't need to miss this. Now, what's God trying to tell us? Could it be this morning? The question that should be on our life this morning is not how are we living, but how are we walking? For see, every man before Enoch lived and died, but Enoch learned to walk with God. Now, what you're going to discover is that Enoch's walk was preceded by a great event. In other words, his walk has a point of origin. And what we're going to learn from the study of Enoch this morning of Genesis 5 and Hebrews 11 is this, that our life comes through our walk with God. If you really want to learn how to live, you got to learn to walk with God. And here's what you got to learn. Your walk with God must have a point of origin. It must have a beginning. You see, Scripture doesn't say Enoch walked with God 65 years and then fathered a son, Methuselah. The Bible said Enoch lived 65 years, then fathered a son, Methuselah, and Enoch walked with God 300 years. And guess what's amazing about this guy who walked with God? He did not die like other men die. One day, he just wasn't found on the face of the earth. Why? Because God took him. And the writer of Hebrews is going to give commentary that the reason God took him was because he lived a life that pleased God. And the reason he lived a life that pleased God was because he lived by faith. Now, here's what's amazing. The writer of Hebrews does not quote the Hebrew Old Testament, but he quotes the Greek version of the Hebrew Old Testament. And this phrase in Hebrews 11, where it talked about pleased God, is a translation of the Hebrew phrase walked with God. So when the writer in Hebrews 11 says Enoch pleased God, and the writer of Genesis, Moses, says Enoch walked with God, they're both saying the same thing. To walk with God is to please God. Now I want you to watch this. We're always into things. And we're always wanting to do things to please God. And did you know that's really not what pleases God? For see, before you do things for him, he wants the things that you're doing to flow out of a walk with him. Now, I want you to see this. What great event changed Enoch's life? The birth of his son, Methuselah. Now, here's what's amazing to me. Every man before him also fathered a son, but yet the Bible never says those men walked with God. Only the seventh man is recorded as walking with God, and the man who walked with God broke the pattern of life and did not die. So something must have happened when Methuselah's son was born. Do you not agree? Because the Bible doesn't say after Methuselah was born, he lived 300 more years. The Bible said after Methuselah was born, he walked with God 300 years. Now let's think just for a moment what might be going on here. Let me tell you what I think is going on here. God, being a God of revelation, must have, at the birth of Methuselah, revealed something to Enoch that had not been revealed to the men before Enoch. Does that make sense? For see, God, being a God of revelation, all we know about God is what he chooses to reveal of himself to us. Amen. And when God steps into your life and reveals himself to you, that brings to you knowledge of him. And when he reveals knowledge of himself to you through revelation, one or two things are going to happen. You're either going to trust him or you're not going to trust him. You're either going to have faith or you're not going to have faith. And if you have faith, let me tell you what that's going to lead to. It's going to lead to a life of obedience. And a life of obedience is what pleases God. Not because you're being legalistic, but because when you're walking with Him, the more you walk with Him, the more you get to know Him, the more you get to know Him, the more you trust Him, and the more you trust Him, the more you find yourself bringing your life in conformity to His will, and that's what the Bible calls obedience. Does that make sense? Now I want you to watch this. I think Scripture gives us enough evidence to figure out exactly what God revealed to Enoch. But you got to open your minds. What was it that caused this guy to walk with God and to be known for his walk with God, and for the writer of Hebrews to say that it was by faith he walked with God? See, it was by faith Abel believed the revelation of God and worshiped, but it was by faith that Enoch believed the revelation of God and walked with God. Here's what I believe it is. If you continue through the genealogy of Genesis chapter 5, here's what the Bible teaches. That Methuselah was 187 years of age when he fathered Lamech. Got that? Now, the Bible also teaches that he was 369 years of age when Lamech fathered Noah. Now, the Bible tells us in Genesis 7:11 that the flood came in the 600th year of Noah's life, second month. Amen? So if you add 600 years to 369, then Methuselah was 969 years of age when the flood came. Amen? We've only got a problem here. And here's our problem. It's a good problem. See, the Bible says that Methuselah died at how old? 969 years. The Bible mentions his death before it mentions the flood. But here's what we know. Methuselah died in the same year of the flood. Now watch this. If you had 187 and 182, you get 369. And if you had 600 to 369, you get 969, which means what? I believe at the birth of Methuselah, God revealed to Enoch that when his son died, the judgment of the world would come. You say, Brother Ricky, you got any more evidence? Yes. Jude verse 14 and 15 says, quoting from a non-canonical book, that the seventh man from Adam, who's the seventh man from Adam according to Genesis? Enoch. If you go to Luke chapter 3 and do the genealogy of Jesus back to Adam, guess who the seventh man in the genealogy is? Enoch. Now if Genesis and Luke and Jude teach Enoch is the seventh man from Adam, do we believe he's the seventh man from Adam? He's the seventh man from Adam. But guess what the Bible teaches he did for those 300 years that he walked with God in Jude 14 and 15? He preached that God was coming with 10,000s of his holy ones to judge the world. And what happened at the death of his son Methuselah? God judged the world in a flood. Wow. Can somebody say amen? And you know what Enoch did for the 300 years after God revealed that to him? He preached what God told him was the truth. And you know what I believe happened to Enoch? Because he believed the revelation of God, he then lived in his culture but was not of his culture. And do you know why he was not of his culture? Because he walked with God. Do you understand the only way we can live in this world and not be of this world is if we too, by faith, walk with our God, believing what he's told us to be true of himself, and not just what he's told us about himself, but what's going to happen to this world. Amen? Now, with that as the background, let's zero in on 11, 5, and 6. Because here's what I want to say to us this morning. Our walk with God is preceded by a great event. And you know what that great event was, right? Not the birth of your children, but your rebirth. Amen? For see, your walk with God and my walk with God by faith has a point of origin. And here's when our walk started. It started when we were reborn by the Spirit of God. When God's Holy Spirit took the Word of God and worked His work of generation in our heart, in our life, we were born of God, gave evidence of being born again by saving faith. And at that moment, we entered into a relationship with God, a God of revelation, who steps into our life through revelation and reveals to us He's got a plan and a purpose for our life, and He wants us to get in on what He's in on, and we now can walk with Him. And the spiritual life that we have gives evidence of our walk with Him. So that by rebirth, we have broke the pattern of spiritual death. Spiritual death no longer has a hold on us, as physical death didn't have a hold on Enoch. We are now spiritually alive with Christ, and we've entered into fellowship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Is that awesome, or is it awesome? Now, let me ask this. The world can teach you how to live, but only God can teach you how to walk. And I want to know, how's your walk? How is your walk with God? Can I tell you why some of our walk is not what it ought to be? It's because we're not walking with a God of revelation. I get so sick and tired of hearing people in the media all the time tell me, well, that's not the God I know. Now, guys, don't you listen to me. The only thing you and I can know of God is what He reveals through revelation. And the primary, full, and final revelation we have of God is what He's revealed to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the written Word reveals to us who the living Word, Jesus, is. Amen? Now let me tell you what man does. Man is still doing the same thing today man did in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that here's what God did. God created man after His image, but guess what sinful man did? Sinful man turned around and created God after His image. So here's what I know to be true. This morning, you're either walking with one of two gods. You're either walking with Jehovah, Yahweh, revealed through Jesus, or you're walking with Figment. Now, I don't care who you call Figment. You're either walking with the God of revelation as revealed to us in Scripture, or you're walking with the God you've created after your own heart and in your own imagination. And if you're walking with a God who you've created, or your granddaddy's created for you, or somebody else has created for you, I call that God Figment. He is a figment of your imagination. And you can make Him any way you want to make Him, but here's the truth. He is not God. There's only one God. And all we can know about that God is what He's revealed to us through His revelation to us. Does that make sense? Now, as we get into the Word, and God reveals Himself to us, we now have knowledge of God, and it leads to this. It leads to faith if you're His child. And if you really have faith, if you really trust God, if you really believe in Him, what will start appearing in your life will be this: obedience to His will. Not because you have to, but because it's just natural. if you find yourself walking with God, you're going to find yourself involved in the things God's involved in. And as you walk with God, He's going to have a tremendous influence on your life. And let me tell you what's going to happen. Before you'll learn to walk with Him, as Enoch did, you're probably going to walk behind Him for a short period of time. Because we young believers have a hard time keeping up with God. Do you not agree with that? Now, I've learned in my life that God walks fast enough to stay ahead of me, but slow enough that I can see Him at all times. Do you get that? Now, with human beings, we have, I think, four main means of human transportation. See if I've got this correct. When a baby is born, the first real means of transportation that a baby has is what I call rolling over. Babies learn real quick to get where they want to get to roll over. Do you not agree? Put something they want somewhere and they'll roll over to get it. But then they learn that doesn't work real good, so they learn to crawl. But crawling is slow. So then they learn to walk. But then after they learn to walk and they grow into adulthood, they learn to run. But if we examine all four means of transportation, I believe the one that best characterizes what God intended for us in the form of transportation is not rolling over, not crawling, not running, but walking. Amen? Now, most of us would be tickled this morning if instead of the Bible saying, Enoch walked with God, we'd like to say, Enoch ran with God. Amen? Now, again, why? Because human beings are about getting things done. We're about finishing projects. Why? Because we want to start something else. Therefore, we're always in a hurry, right? To get finished what we're doing so we can start something else, so we can get that finished, so we can start something else. And we're constantly running here and there. And what that signifies is we are in a hurry. Have any of you discovered God's not in a hurry? Oh, does that make you mad? Don't you really get frustrated when God's not on your time schedule? Now, let me tell you what's going on here, folks. God's not into projects. God's into people. While we're working on building buildings and are always behind and we're building projects, God is building us. Therefore, His means of communication is not running with Him. It is walking with Him. And you know what I believe happens in every child who's healthy? There is an innate desire to walk. And I believe if you've been born again by God, you have an innate desire within you to walk with Him. Can I tell you why? I can't prove this scientifically, but I believe just from human observation, the reason children want to walk is because they want to be where their parents are. I believe that's the reason Kiki and Corey learned to walk. They figured out crawling wouldn't get the job done. Do you remember your kids when they started out crawling? About the time they would get in the room where you were, you'd go to another room. And they'd crawl to that room, wouldn't they? And about the time they got to that room, what would you do as a parent? You'd be through in that room and you'd walk to another room. And what would they do? They'd crawl to that room. And pretty soon they figured out that to keep up with mom and dad, I've got to learn to what? Do what they do. And that's what? Walk. I don't know if you believe that or not. That's what I believe. Do you know that's what walking with God is? It's coming from a desire that desires to be where He is. Do you have that desire to be where God is? See, if you look at verse 6 of Hebrews chapter 11, it says that without faith, it is impossible to walk with Him. It's impossible to please Him because we must believe two things. First, we must believe that He is. Oh, us of little faith. I can't tell how many of us live a life that says, God is the God who has always been, but we talk about Him as the God who was. Wow. In the past, God, you've done great things. And I don't believe there's one of us in here who do not believe that in the future, God's going to do great things. Amen? But you know what many of us do not believe? Why we believe he's the God who was and we believe he's the God who will be? Many of us do not believe he is the God who is right now. The God who is. You can look in the past and see what God's done for you, and you hold out hope for what he's going to do with you in the future. But let me ask you this question. What is he doing for you right now? And many of you can't say a thing. Because you don't trust him right now. He didn't ask you to believe he's the God who was, and he didn't ask you to believe he's the God who will be. He said you must believe he's the God who is. Is. This is why it's by faith. Oh, we know the doctrine of the omnipresence of God, do we not? That God is everywhere. But can I say this and not get in trouble? Don't take this out of context theologically. While God is everywhere, God is not into everything that's going on everywhere. Amen? Amen? Come on, don't look at me like that. You either agree or don't agree. Amen? While God is everywhere, God is not into everything that's going on everywhere. Agree? Okay, now let me say this then. If that's true, then while God is omnipresence everywhere, God's presence is not everywhere. Amen? Which means what? Some of you are where God isn't. And if you are where God isn't as a husband or a wife or a teacher or a preacher or a deacon or a Christian or a banker or a lawyer, you are not walking with God. Because God would never lead you where he isn't. Why? Because he's not the God who isn't. He's the God who is. Amen? Or, you gotta understand this. It means not only God's not where you're at, but it also means you're not where he is. While he may not be where you are, he is. Do you understand that? And you know what's amazing? Sometimes you can be where he is and not recognize he is there. I can't tell you how many times when you talk to members of this church and you ask them how it's going in the church, we get some bizarre answers. How can somebody belong to something where God's moving and not recognize God's moving? Somebody is not walking with God. Now, the question before us this morning is not how is our life, but how is our walk, because our life spiritually is derived from our walk with him. Amen? Do you have that desire to be where he is? And then do you believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him? Do you honestly believe that it's worth every effort you make to walk with him? Because What's God going to reward you with if you, as a believer, diligently seek Him? He's going to reward you with His presence. Knowing you are where He is. And if you are where He is and you're walking with Him, you will find yourself involved in what He's involved in. And there's no greater satisfaction that comes to a believer than being involved in the will of God. Now, let me show you what's going to naturally happen when you walk with God. Two things happen when you walk with someone. You become like and you become unlike at the same time. I had a friend years ago, and he walked with me. And what I noticed is the more he walked with me, the more he picked up little Ricky things. I mean, just when he'd talk and I'd sit back and hear him talk, some of my words would come out of his mouth. Some of the things that I was doing in my life, I started seeing him get involved in. Why? Because as he walked with me, he started becoming like me. That's why I don't have many friends. Very few people want to become like me, but that happens. And see, the more he walked with me, the more he became unlike who he used to be. But then something happened. He had a change of friends. And when he had a change of friends, the more he became like him, the more he became unlike me. Does that make sense? I tell you that to say this. The more you walk with God, the more you will become like Him. And the more you will become unlike Adam. The more you will become unlike the world. Now, as I close, well, you've been a good audience this morning. When you start walking with God, it's inevitable, folks. You're going to fall down. Did you hear me? You're going to fall down. Now, here's what I want to caution you about. When you're rolling over and you mess up, you never know it. When you start crawling and you fall down and your knees go out from under you, it doesn't hurt. Very seldom does a child get a broken bone from falling down, crawling. Amen? I've never seen a kid fall down crawling and look stunned. Have you? But don't we fear as parents when they start walking? Because we know when they fall down or they fall off, it's going to hurt. Because you're going to get places you could never get crawling when you start walking. Why do we judge each other so critically when someone falls down? I don't get it. Why are we always ready to break fellowship and run from a brother when he messes up? And yet every one of you in here will tell me, you know, if you walk, you're going to from time to time fall down. Amen? Why is the first time a new believer messes up, do we want to say through our judgmental lenses, well, I don't think he really got it. You listening to me? Let's not just amen sermons. Let's behave what we believe to be true. And that is, if a person has a desire to walk with God, from time to time, he's going to fall down. But because his desire is to be where? Where his daddy is. Amen? Did you get that? That's good. Amen? See, the reason I desire to walk with God is I want to be where he is. If I'm not walking with him, then I'm not where he is. I don't want to live my life under the omnipresence of God. I want to live my life under the presence of God. Which means what? I must live by faith. I must believe the revelation he's given me, and I must act according to that revelation, no matter what it is. Because wherever I find myself, I want to be where he is for me. And that's what you should desire. Now here's what's awesome. When a believer falls down because he's walking with God, if he is a believer, he's going to get up. Amen? You will get up. Why? Because God's not going to stop doing what he's doing and being where he is because you fell down. Amen? You know, we agree the world's not going to stop. It's going to go on without us. And you better hang on to this truth too. God's going to go on without you, if necessary. While you are dependent upon him, he is not dependent on you. Amen? That's why a true believer, when he falls down, he gets back up. And we've got some brothers and sisters walking on crutches. But praise God, they're walking. Amen. Why? Because if you are a believer, you will want to be where he is. And you know what that requires? It requires faith. See, I believe we're going to learn something from these first three pre-flood men. Because I believe God reveals things to his people progressively up until Jesus Christ. And in Jesus Christ is the full and final revelation of God. Amen? But up until Jesus Christ, no one person on the earth had the full revelation. We now have. So when we look back at the pre-flood people, you come to God through the blood of another by faith. That's Abel. Then once you come to him by faith through the blood of another, by faith, you learn to walk with him. And that's Enoch. And guess who the next guy is? Noah. And guess what he did? He built a boat. Do you see the progression? Worship, walk, then work. Never is it the other way. Work, then walk, then worship. Always worship, then walk, then work. Your walk should flow out of your worship, and your work should flow out of your walk. Why? Because life comes to us through our walk with God. Amen. Father, boy, this hall of faith is amazing. God, I pray that we don't create you after our own thinking. But I pray that we diligently seek you through your revelation. As we learned last week, you reveal yourself in nature. But you reveal yourself through special revelation, not just natural. And it's through natural revelation we can know, through special revelation we can know who you are, your name. And we can know that in the person of Jesus Christ, we can have a relationship with you, not as creator, but as redeemer. And we can be not just part of your creation, we can be part of your recreation. And Father, we know that it pleases you for us to walk with you. And Father, we believe you're the God who is. And I pray right now that our life is revealing you, not as a God who has been or a God who will be, but the God who is. And may our life right now reveal our belief in the God of the present, who reveals his presence to us. So that just like Enoch, our walk can be consumed with the message that you've revealed to us. And you told Enoch that the death of your son would bring judgment. You've told us that the death of your son would bring life. So, Father, let us be involved in taking the message. And let the message cause us not to be involved and to be conformed to the world system. So we can be in, but not be of. Why? Because our walk will reveal what we know of your revelation. And our walk will reveal if we really believe it's true. So let our walk reveal to others if we really believe the truth. That we have life through your Son Jesus. Eternal life, spiritual life, life from above. Father, is anyone here this morning who has had their eyes opened and you've stepped into their life this morning, revealed to them that you let your Son die for them? I'm going to ask our counselors to come and stand right now to my right and my left. We're going to give that man, we're going to give that woman, we're going to give that boy, that girl, that grandma, that grandpa an opportunity to respond publicly to your revelation to them that your son died on the cross in their place so that they could have eternal life and that they could begin, like Enoch, to walk with you. Father, let them know they'll desire to be where you are. For that person that's afraid he can't get over his past, that his past to keep tripping him up, let him know that you're not the God just of the past. You're the God of his present. And you'll give him in his present, the power to get over his past. Father, you're an awesome God. If we have a saint here who is not walking, maybe they're crawling, maybe they're running, they're not walking, they're not where you are, they're not with you, they're not in fellowship with you, they're not involved in what you're involved in, then I pray you draw them to these steps this morning for commitment, for searching, for repentance. Father, right now we're just going to sit in your presence for a few moments with our eyes closed. Not because we're ashamed in this church to make public commitments, but we just want there to be privacy. No one looking at what anyone else should be doing, but each one of us looking through the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our own heart and our own life. I'd like to ask you this question. Ponder it. How is your walk? Could it be that what's been revealed in your life right now is because of your walk or lack thereof? Father, thank you for this time with your people. It's in Christ's name. Amen. Hey guys, thank you for being here this morning. Right now, we're going to begin to worship the Lord with our tithes and offerings. If those men who received the offering, if you'd go get the offering plate. We got anybody here for the first time to Hardin Baptist Church this morning? Anybody here for the first time? Wow, would you hang on just a second? Anybody else? We got some guys who are going to give you a card. Anybody else here for the first time? First time to Hardin Baptist Church? All right. We appreciate you being with us this morning. If you don't care, ma'am, just take a few minutes and take that pencil, fill that card out. We'd like to have a record of you being with us this morning. If you're on the end of the row of chairs, ooh, I see a bunch of the books up here in front. That means they may not be under your chair. Are they under your chair? We got ours. If you've got yours, would you start that down? If you don't have one, would you come up here? There's some right up here on the front. I don't know if these are extra or what, but anybody not have one? Because, boy, this is important to us at Hardin. We want to know you're here. Take that attendance registry book and pass it down. Everybody, every row got one? If your row doesn't have one, we'll bring you one. Everybody got one? All righty. We got a few announcements we're going to make while we're receiving the offering. Hey, guys, don't forget, and I've overlooked this for two Sundays, and I apologize. Do you see those little offering envelopes that say Lottie Moon Christmas Offering? This is a very important offering in the life of us as Southern Baptist Church. 53% of our support for our Southern Baptist missionaries comes from this offering. 53%. Every dollar you give in this offering goes to our missionaries. No administrative cost. Administrative cost of our foreign missionaries comes through our support through the cooperative program. This offering is very important. It's 53% of the support for our Southern Baptist missionaries. We have missionaries literally around the world in some dire places taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. And we're trying to raise $10,500 here in our church for those. We're going to be taking this throughout the month. As the Lord leads you, would you take one of those offering envelopes? And you can give every week or you can give once. Ever how the Lord leads you to give. But please pray about an offering to help us support our Southern Baptist missionaries. And we'll be taking this offering throughout the month. Tonight at 6 o'clock, our children are going to be presenting their Christmas play. It went right along with what we done yesterday with Helping His Kids. Thank all of you who came and helped yesterday with Helping His Kids. And Thursday, we gave toys to over 900 children yesterday. We gave it to the parents. The parents got to choose. And you should have seen some of the tears flowing down people's faces when they came and was leaving, seeing the toys that you gave. Folks, these were good, good toys. Amen. Had an awesome, awesome time yesterday. But you be here tonight to support our kids, 6 o'clock. Some of you don't ever come back on Sunday night. You know who you are. Amen? Tonight's not about you. It's about our children. They need to see this place full tonight. Would you come back and support our children? Children are real important to Jesus. A lot of times, he just took them on his knee and he taught. I think God teaches through children sometime. Amen? And he can teach us tonight from the life of our children. So you come back, be a part of our service tonight. Brother Brian's going to tell us about what's going on tomorrow night.
Tonight is men's night. This topic is alcohol and drugs. That may not be a problem in your life, but I just invite all of you to come because there may be some brothers that need your support. So meal starts at 6 o'clock, 6:45 the message starts. Our speaker's going to be really good. I know him personally, and it'll be a treat for you to hear. And he's going to talk about some real issues. So I just invite you to come tomorrow night at 6 o'clock.
Not have a problem with alcohol or drugs, but as men, we have friends, we have people we're going to become friends with who have a problem. The information we can learn tomorrow night can help us better minister to some of those guys. There's just a great strength in all of us guys getting together, and the guys who come really like it. Our problem is a lot of you, we've never got you to come. So come tomorrow night downtown, 6 o'clock for the meal. Be there at 6:45. Because I think you'll be blessed. And wouldn't it be neat to know God might equip you tomorrow night to meet somebody's need maybe 6 months down the road just because you were faithful and you gave up your favorite Monday night program on TV to come and be with us. Come and be with us tomorrow night starting at 6 o'clock. It's downtown, all right? Any other words before we go?
Hey, Brother Ricky, do you have your song ready for to sing Sunday night?
My song?
At the singing. The one you were going to.
Okay, no, I don't have it yet. The Lord hadn't given me one yet.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Anyway,
I didn't fall for that, amen. Amen. I knew he was going somewhere I didn't want to go.
Yeah,
I'm glad I walked with God, not him, amen.
Me too, brother. Just a reminder, if any of y'all want to sing next Sunday night, that's what we're going to be doing. We're just going to be having a singing, as it is in the bulletin. So if you want to sing, please let me know so I can write your name down. And if any of you that already have told me, we're going to meet at 5 o'clock next Sunday night to kind of just get a little run through on your song, okay? That's all I need.
Amen. So if you want to sing next Sunday night, not tonight, next Sunday night, we're going to have a singing. So we're excited about that.
No, not a singing.
Those who can't sing are going to listen to you who can sing. Amen.
Not a singing.
We might hum along with you.
Not a singing.
Not a singing?
Singing.
A singing.
Singing.
A singing.
Yeah.
I like to say singing.
Yeah, I know. It's a singing. It's different.
Yeah, but I'm from West Kentucky, see, so I'm proud. All right, let's all stand up and get out of here. Amen. Don't run.